Previously on the Tony Kornheiser Show.
And the daiquiri guy goes, "Hey man, if you're going to use the bathroom, you got to get a daiquiri." And there was nothing non-alcoholic there. So I get a hypnotic daiquiri with an extra shot in it because it's, hey, it's New Orleans. And so I take that daiquiri. I walk by a bar called Cooter Brown's where I end up watching the Bills beat the Falcons. But then I go back to your house, James, loaded up with beer. But that daiquiri, as long as the drive I had during the day, I had a little nap I had to take. And let's just say I missed some important phone calls because of that. And that was your fault.
What a grateful house guest, James.
The Tony Kornheiser Show is on now.
Okay, so I don't even know if there's any music ahead of me coming into the show. Because when we got here early in the morning, Saliza dumped tea on Nigel's computer.
That's
Nigel,
right.
Nigel's computer isn't working. So Nigel is completely bent out of shape about
this. He's angry at me.
Because there's no music. Well, we're all angry at you, but that doesn't matter. Because there's no music. So maybe the music will be in when you hear this, and maybe it won't. We've got a huge crowd at Chatter for breakfast today on a holiday. Thanks so much.
Big Columbus Day crowd.
As everybody who sits in the audience knows, we are a full-service, for-profit restaurant. Even as, is Nate still a hurricane or just a tropical storm?
Tropical depression.
All right, as Nate goes through the Washington, D.C. area on Columbus Day, we are still at the corner of Jennifer Street Northwest and Wisconsin Avenue Northwest, and we are open for breakfast when we do this show and when we don't. Michael Kornheiser is here. Chris Saliza, henceforth to be known as villain number two.
Why am I not villain number one?
Gary Braun is here. Nigel is fuming, and we have a very nice crowd. So let's just start the show. So here we got some letters. Tom Grodek at Bay Village, Ohio. "The woman to whom I'm related by marriage and I made the pilgrimage to Chatter from Cleveland, please accept my meager offering of the two best beers in Cleveland. Hopefully Michael can drink this while grilling, Gary while cutting film, Saliza while waiting in line for you too, or David while letting the air out of tires parked in front of his house. Thank you for the years of entertainment." Michael, what kind of beer is that?
This is Fathead's Headhunter IPA, and this will knock you out. It's at 7.5 ABV, as well as the Columbus Brewing Co. Bodhi, B-O-D-H-I, double IPA.
That's even bigger.
Yeah, that's at 8.3.
That's twice the IPA,
Gary beer,
isn't it?
The sticker people in King, North Carolina sent me a sticker that says, "Hell, admit one," which will become a gift, which is very nice.
Ticket to hell, there you go.
That's
like
helpful.
The golden ticket to
Dr.
heaven.
Dr. Michael Shields says, "The woman to whom I'm soon to be related by marriage, and I invite all of you, especially NC State attendee Tori Clark, to a wedding in November. We'll be playing golf on Friday at NC State's golf course designed by Arnold Palmer, where I'll be lucky to break 120. I've been a loyal little by for several years. I want to thank you for the many hours of entertainment while I travel around the country for work. Enclosed are two koozies to help keep your adult beverages cold on the beach and on the golf course. The wedding is a little short on space, so if you do come, I think it'd be great to disinvite fellow littles Brian Grossman of Cleveland Park in D.C., Alex Birching of Charlotte, and the father and the best man, David Shield, from the wedding." So that's very nice. We have these things, Anna. And Michael, we did golf balls for your wedding.
You had koozies.
Did you have
koozies? We had koozies and golf balls. We still have about 150 koozies.
I wouldn't know.
We were also invited to the wedding ceremony of Susan K. Byam and Roland Gabriel Esparza. "Mr. Tony, we knew that you would not come to our wedding. We'd appreciate an autograph on the invitation," which is exactly what I've done. "We hope to see you and the rest of the bigs during our visit to the DMV for my nephew's wedding this weekend. According to Daniel's here now, I'm the first gluten-free customer ever at Chatter, or the first gluten-free little at Chatter. I will send an email to let you know how your kitchen handled my meal. Thanks for years of entertainment." The wedding was September 23rd.
Congrats.
Yeah, so much congratulations. What else do we have? Another wedding. Paige Wilson and Raymond Patenaud, P-A-T-E-N-A-U-D. They're from Tiga K, South Carolina. Michael, do you know where that is?
I do not. I'll look it up.
"Enclosed, you will find an invitation to attend the wedding on October 13th. Yes, the woman to whom I will be related by marriage thought it would be great luck for us to be wed on Friday the 13th. I'm a lucky man to have such intelligent, good-looking woman with a sense of humor to share my life with. In lieu of your attendance, I'll ask for your good wishes on us and our combined 8 children who will make up our bridal party." Isn't that sweet? That's nice.
So Brady Bunch type situation.
We'll send that out. Somebody sent me, it's just from Nifty, the Nifty Business Network. You've been invited by another business to join NIFT, N-I-F-T, or NIFTY. Here's a complimentary gift to show you what we're all about.
Well, wait, NIFT or NIFTY?
I don't know.
N-I-F-T.
It's $30.
Oh, NIFTY.
It's a $30 gift certificate.
Very nice.
I've never heard of that before.
We'll have to do some research there.
All right. Now let's start the show, because we've dispensed of all of this fabulous business. And I thought, I mean, I know it was an NFL weekend, but I thought I would talk about the experience that Michael and I had, shared to a large degree by Chris Saliza. Gary, you were still in San Francisco, I believe, on Friday night.
Yes, I was.
No, Saturday. Saturday late afternoon, beginning at 5:30, was the Nats game two against the Cubs, a game that I attended with the socialite, with Marvin Bush, and with Michael. We had the socialite seats on the first base side. They are, they're past the dugout on the first base side as you go into right field, right behind the photographer's well. So you see all the photographers.
Right behind the stairs where the starters come off the field.
Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah. So that's
that. What are they, about 800 rows up? Or?
Yes, 800 rows up or the first row.
That's what I think.
Or the first row.
Just checking.
We were looking for you, Chris.
These are good seats.
I was 800
rows up. They're not the Saliza seats.
No.
But they're good seats.
You know what? Who was in the Saliza seats?
I do not.
Kevin Huff and Sylvia Garfinkel. I mean, because they're
the
their seats.
Yeah,
and I was like, and you don't invite this guy.
Yeah. So now you were, you were at the game.
No.
I thought you went to the game.
No.
Oh, okay.
Oh, you told me you were going.
Yes. I was supposed to go.
Well, they must have given your ticket away.
My child's soccer game got in the way.
Ooh.
Yeah, I know. I shouldn't have had kids, obviously. I know that now.
So Luke was at the game with Carville.
We could see Luke from our seats.
Wilbon.
You mean they were at the game together? Or
yes.
They were both
together.
The
wait,
game.
Right, Luke was making a spectacle of himself?
No.
Drawing
attention? No, we just saw him. We just saw him. Anyway, the place was filled, and we were despondent. We were despondent because other than the... I should say that, contrary to published reports, the wind was blowing out all night. All night, to left and to right, it was blowing to the outfield all night long. So that when Rendon hit an opposite field homer in the first or the second, it looked like a lazy fly ball to the right fielder that might even go foul. And it was a home run. And when Contreras hit one out, it looked like Jason Worth had it.
Looked like a
pop
up to Turner.
Yeah.
Zim's also creeped out. Did Bryce's look like a pop fly to you?
No.
That just hit you in the face.
So John Lester is pitching great, and you get to the point where after the sixth or maybe the seventh, did he go seven, John Lester? The Nats had gone 2 days without any hits, without the ability to build
four
a run.
Hits,
without
total.
The ability to build a run at all.
It's and over, right?
They were basically hoping for walks. They had scraggly little ground balls that might have gotten through, but yes. Barry had the number for the first 52 at bats. There were 4 for 52 for a .077 average until that Adam Lind pinch hit.
They had been the best hitting team in baseball all year, and they were getting nothing.
Yeah.
And there was a woman seated directly behind me with an incredibly shrill voice, screaming at everyone all the time, very angry at the Nats. Screaming when Robles came in to pinch run, down two. It's the eighth inning. I don't care if you're Usain Bolt. You don't send that guy. No. And she's screaming, steal,
with
steal.
With Bryce up?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, she's obviously a real aficionado of the game.
By the way, Lester, just to correct herself, Lester six.
Six. He shut him down.
I love when people scream, by the way, and I'm sure she did this. When people scream, we need to get hits. I'm sure the guys aren't trying to make that happen.
So
wow, now they'll hit.
All right, so we get to the point where Trey Turner has killed the team. He has been in situations where he could deliver a hit and get in a run, and he hasn't done it. Ryan Zimmerman, a pachyderm, has done the best he can. He gets a single. He steals second, the most amazing steal of all time.
Because dangerous slide.
Nobody expects it. Head first slide, where I thought he was actually out. Then on a pass ball, he goes to third. He's doing everything he can to build a rally, and Trey Turner comes up and whiffs twice in a row in situations where he could produce runs. Whiffs at balls that bounce in the dirt. He's a righty.
He's
all
waving
the way
at pitches.
Yeah. What are you doing? Right, Michael? What is he doing?
Yeah, at this point, you just want to try and get him to put something on the ground to try and use that speed. Everyone keeps
talking about game-changing
speed, and he can't get to first.
He can't steal first.
Right.
Right. Anyway, so now we're in the eighth inning, and it's morose.
And what is it like there? I mean, at this point, I'm home and watching, but what did it feel like?
It just felt tense. So
it
felt hot. Yeah,
it was hot.
I walked the concourse.
It's the middle of October.
Versus every other playoff game, this concourse just felt heavy. There was not a lot of buzz. You started to see the Cubs fans emerging. In our section, there were enough kids. I'm saying high school, college kids along with young kids.
Many of
young
whom we knew.
Too. Young kids did not understand
Scotty
what
Dreyer's
was really
kid.
Going on in the game.
Banging down those beers. Right? I mean, what?
Wow, way to out him, Tom.
By name.
I love the kid. I didn't say his first name. Anyway, I wish I could. And he's with his pals, and they're screaming.
They're having a great time.
One of the players coming off the field throws a ball at him. They catch it. They're the happiest
kids
in the
world. You missed the highlight to this point.
What?
Victor Robles trading
a
baseball for a rally
towel.
They have about 60,000 rally towels, and Victor Robles and Wilmer Defoe look like they're going to swing their arms off the socket. They're so excited to have these
Trey Turner gets up and kills the rally. So the top of the eighth, the bottom of the eighth inning starts, and Adam Lind comes up. And there is high hope for Adam Lind in our section. He's a professional hitter, and he singles. And that's a great sign.
Just
and
then a little single.
Victor Robles comes in to run. Who's up next? Turner's up. No?
Turner is up.
Turner would be up.
And what did he do? He did nothing.
He strikes out.
Yeah, he strikes out. So we hate him. And then Harper gets up, and I say, and by the way, earlier in the game when Gio was pitching, I did turn to my seatmates, and I said at the beginning of the fourth, I guess it was, this is a really tough 2-3. And that is Bryant and Rizzo. This is a really tough 2-3. Bryant hit the ball hard every single night, every single at-bat. Bryant gets a hit. Rizzo, who's a professional hitter, fouls off as many pitches as he wants to and stands there quite like Barry Bonds, waiting for the one he wants and drills it out. So now you're down 3-1, and that was the depressing part. So Adam Lind is on first. Robles comes in to run. He's on first with one out, and Harper hits one that would still be going if the stands weren't there to stop it. He kills it. So now it's 3-3, and people are happy.
Did people go bananas?
Yes.
Okay. And Harper comes out, shakes his head, at which point apparently
was everyone still there?
Or you weren't? Yes.
Okay.
Everyone. There was not an empty
seat.
No,
it was a great crowd. They stayed there.
Right? I think
I'm
told you and the Socialite were on TV when Harper took his
curveball. I'm surprised I wasn't on more often.
Yeah,
well,
I'd agree.
I had my Johnny O. Nats polo on.
Right, so,
spotted that.
Then, what is the rest of the rally after Harper? After Harper,
well, then Rendon
comes
works
up,
a walk.
Rendon
walks,
gets a walk.
Murphy
gets a
left.
Single, and Zimmerman comes up.
Yep.
Now, Zimmerman, to be fair, and I don't want to lie and present myself in a way that would be untrue, as some people do all the time. Chasing mythology. I've been very disappointed in Ryan Zimmerman against the Cubs for 2 years. I was one of those people who said, does he have to play? Does he have to play? Even after the single, even after the great effort to get the third, I was very leery. I figured that was his one hit for the series. Ryan Zimmerman came up and hit it deep and high, but just like in the inning when Wirth went back on the ball by Contreras, here's their left fielder back against the wall, and you think he's going to get it. You think he's going – it's Zobrist? Was Zobrist in left
yes,
at
that point? Zobrist.
And you think he's going to get it.
It's to an angle in the field where there's going to be a little bit more space than you think, rather than hugging the line just in that tight corner.
Right.
Watching it on television –
into the mums.
I was thinking this is going – it's going to go, and he's going to stop right at the track, right at the wall, not have to jump and catch it. That's exactly what his body language looked like.
Some percentage of left fielders – catch that ball. And
it was
it might
very
be
weird.
As high as 20 or 30%. It
did not go out at a trajectory that he could not have caught it. I mean, Aaron Judge caught one that
was very similar.
Right.
Aaron Judge is
6'8",
and the
12.
Wall is smaller.
Right.
The wall is smaller. Aaron Judge was over the wall.
Well, regardless, it went. This one went. Yeah.
And there was an explosion of happiness, the likes of which, and I was at the game when Wirth hit that home run, to tie the series at 2, they lost the next day. But I've never been involved in anything that people were so happy at a sporting event. So happy. What did you think, Michael?
I've been to so many Nats baseball games, and frankly, I've been to enough Nats playoff losses. And to share that moment with you, where we have not been to a professional sporting event in a stadium, a golf match doesn't count, a PGA Tour event doesn't count, really. to share that with you, where we never go to games as fans. We were there as fans.
Yes.
And it was cool to share that with just with the city, with the stadium, to go home and relive it with my wife and baby boy who was awake after she had been screaming in the house. So it was, who knows what happens today, tomorrow. You know, right. Hopefully they don't need a game.
Although you
five.
Get Scherzer. You say to yourself going into this game, you're in the best possible position on the road you can be.
Until Scherzer gives up more fly balls than most elite pitchers, and that's
and
a ballpark where they go out.
Still, I mean, but you now have Scherzer and Strasburg in two of the next three games. And we didn't talk about it because it was after the show. But Strasburg was
great.
Outstanding. As soon as when the Nats wasted that start, I thought, well, this is probably
So then the best thing happened. Then we start walking for the exits. It's the top of the ninth. We watch as one of the relievers, Doolittle, strikes out the first guy. We even peer back on the second guy, the second out. Then we get right to the car before the third out, and we are out clean.
Nice.
The socialite had parked in a spot. We are out clean. We're done. No traffic whatsoever.
So you know those emergency lanes that are for, you know, emergency egress that provide space in between cars?
I call them the VIP lanes.
Yes, that's where Ellen parks.
Yeah, that's where the socialite parks. And we got right out, and it couldn't have been better.
I always assume Ellen just pulls up to the center field gate and just leaves it.
Keep it running.
It's fine.
Let it run.
That's going to be good.
Now, how epic. Now, granted, I had just spent the week in San Francisco, so maybe I was in San Fran mode when I saw this, but I thought to myself that is, you know, Dwight Clark had the catch. That is the swing. I mean, if this team goes on to win,
they have to win.
But if when you think of how low we were, and I wasn't there, I was home, of course, but watching the game, and you think of how low you are. I mean, they go down 0-2, and obviously, there's no guarantee that they don't come back and win three in a row. But
you don't think so?
Not with the body language they were displaying.
It felt like. Everything changed. These are
my texts to Tony. Now, unresponded to. It was just me venting to Tony.
Because I didn't.
You were busy.
I don't carry my phone with me.
We look lifeless. We cannot hit. Those are my only. I mean, that series felt as over as any 1-0 series because they were just. I mean, in the stadium, it may be different, but watching on TV, they looked lifeless. When Trey struck out
the second time,
I thought, well, this is it. We had a good run.
Yeah.
Bryce Harper.
What was great was with Dusty's lineup of righty, lefty, and that balance and forcing Madden to keep a pitcher in that he might not have otherwise kept in, allowing the Nats to get to the Cubs' few weaknesses.
Yeah. Bullpen.
It just felt like a little bit of retribution.
So it's really good. We had a really good time. I'm done. Unless they get to the World Series.
I was in those seats, and I felt like a little kid again where Dad points up into the left field parking lot and says,
there's my name.
My name's up there.
You can't see it. You need binoculars.
It's below only the goal.
By the way, you want to talk about DNA? As Liz Hardwick is screaming when the home run goes out, I am told by Chan that Kate is screaming in South Carolina as the home run goes out. So that was really
cool. I've created Nats
Michael
fans.
Married into a great family.
All right, we'll take a break, and we will come back with Michael Wilbon, who's probably not depressed because it's 1-1 and the series moves to Chicago. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is the MeUndies read. This is the male version. You want to look good in your underwear and be comfortable, right? But that perfect balance is hard to find. Don't sacrifice style or comfort. Check out MeUndies and find the best pair of underwear in the world. I will just mention that yesterday I was playing golf, and one of the people I was playing with, who will go unmentioned, said, if I do this podcast, I want the underwear. And I said, no problem. MeUndies will be the most comfortable pair of underwear you will own, made from a sustainably sourced, naturally soft fabric that is 3 times softer than cotton. Ultimate feel-good undies from when you want to feel naked but not be naked. And ladies will love the soft, and I want to say this correctly, eco-friendly fabric. Soft and touchable is 100% guarantee. They guarantee you'll love your undies or your money back. Right now, MeUndies has an exclusive offer just for my listeners. You get 20% off your first pair and you get free shipping. And they're so sure you'll love the underwear, they offer a 100% satisfaction guarantee. If you order a pair and you don't love your first pair, you get a free refund. So it's a no-brainer to try. 20% off, free shipping, and 100% satisfaction guarantee. What are you waiting for? To get your 20% off, your free shipping, and your 100% satisfaction guarantee, and get the best and softest underwear you will ever own, all you have to do is go to MeUndies, MEUNDIES.com/TonyK. That's MeUndies.com/TonyK. It's a limited time offer. Do it now. Do it now, people. Start wearing the best underwear of your life. It hasn't really changed my life, but it's nice. It's time to let MeUndies change your life. Maybe you have a different threshold of life-changing events than I do. Go to MeUndies.com/TonyK right now.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is sent in by Mike Kinsella, who writes, I sent in a song from my band, American Football, about a year ago. I'm sending another one entitled, My Instincts Are the Enemy, in the hopes that you'll play it and promote our upcoming show in your neck of the woods at the Howard Theater on Saturday, November 18th. We'll be playing way past Tony's bedtime, but I'll go ahead and put the rest of your guys' names on the guest list, if only to be able to say Edith Saliza while he ogles our cheese platter backstage. Also, I'm hoping to fly into town early enough to drink too much of chatter that Friday night before the show. Wish me luck. All good luck to you, Mike. Appreciate that. Michael Wilbon joins us now. He is in Chicago, where he has a big sports day ahead of him. He's got Cubs-Nats Game 3, and then, if he chooses to, he's got the Monday Night Football game to watch with the Bears. Let's just start with the Virginia. How was the Virginia thing that you did?
Tony, it was fascinating. I meant to tell you yesterday, there was a piece in the Washington Post and Metro just about the beginning of the celebration of the bicentennial.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a piece just talking about the complexity of everything that even Virginians, I mean the University of now, alums, community, everything they feel about their own institution, their own culture. In the wake of, I think it was August 13.
Charlottesville.
In the wake of Charlottesville. And sort of what, just how they are re-examining everything.
Oh, this has been a very difficult five-year stretch for the University of Virginia and the environs. There have been people murdered. It's been really hard for a school like that,
don't you
think?
And Tony, but those other things had tragic. But it had nothing to do with the fabric of the university or sort of what people feel about the place. This has that. And the examining, probably the most fascinating thing for me, and this is just touching off the bicentennial celebration there in Charlottesville of the university, we're seeing some of the ancestors of Thomas Jefferson, the black ancestors of Thomas Jefferson.
Ancestors or descendants?
I'm sorry, descendants.
Descendants, yeah.
The black
yeah.
descendants yeah. of Thomas Jefferson. And I knew one and went to school with one and didn't know that about her at the time I went to school with her. She didn't go to Virginia. She lives in Virginia now. And, to see that and listen to that discussion, which has an entirely new meaning to everybody involved in the wake of August 13. So anyway, that was just part of it, but it was the part that meant the most to me.
Did you get away at any point to watch Game 1 during this celebration?
No, at the end. And I have my phone, therefore a TV in my hand, a phone that has DirecTV on it. But, like anything else, when you have that many people in one space, you can't get any reception. I couldn't get anything. So I was relayed to me what was going on pitch by pitch. And, Don was at the game with Matthew.
Right.
And I wound up getting to the TV late, very late. I wound up seeing the eighth and ninth innings at a bar at the Boar's Head Inn, which I'm sure you're familiar with.
That's a lovely hotel.
Yeah.
Lovely hotel.
Yeah. And so I saw just the end of it, and, I was a basket case, and I'm glad that game turned out the way it did, because the next night I was there and I haven't gotten over it yet.
So we are sitting, we're in 110 or 114, whatever we're in, and we, the group that, and I talked about this earlier in the show, we think it's a disaster for the Nats because they can't get any hits. We've watched Kyle Hendricks completely baffle them for as many innings as he was there. And now Lester is doing the same thing, and they're up 3-1. We are morose and thinking the series is over. At that point, you're in the same stadium I'm in. You're thinking what through six with Lester?
Leave John Lester out. Bring him back for the seventh. He was under 100 pitches. Bring him back. See, Tony, you don't follow the Cubs at all.
No.
I follow the Nationals some. I have a sense. I have with one eye. I have a sense of what the Nationals are doing on the macro level. You don't have any idea what the Cubs are doing. The Cubs bullpen
stinks.
This is where numbers can just simply deceive you. I think it's like six, and I'm looking at this as many games as I watch, which down the stretch, meaning I don't know, the last 50 games, I probably watched 45 of them. I know the Cubs bullpen is not reliable the way it was last year, and even though there is a closer in Wade Davis, who is statistically even more reliable than Chapman was last year.
But you got to get to him.
You can't get to him.
Right. You got to get to him.
I don't. You know, the sight of Pedro Strop, you know, the sight of the kid who was Carl whatever Jr.
Carl Edwards Jr.
Carl Edwards Jr.
Who weighs about 110 pounds.
I would kill for that waistline.
Whoa.
I find out later, the next morning, that Carl Edwards, his curveball, and this is what they can do now, statistically, his curveball has the lowest, the result of it is the lowest batting average in the league, the curveball, by opposing hitters.
Right.
.88. No one touches his curveball.
And Mike, they said...
hung a curveball, it just, I can't, like, I'm barely over it now.
They said
I'm not over it now. I'm so angry about the end of that game, and I just sat there saying, you know, this is not going to turn out well because we should have had a bigger lead, and I don't trust the bullpen.
Is that go ahead, Chris?
I was just going to say to Wilbon's point. They said right before Bryce's at bat or in the middle of Bryce's at bat on TV, they made the point that Carl Edwards Jr., the batting average against for lefties, which is a little odd because he's right-handed, was like 132 or something. I mean, like something really, really low.
Why, for people like me, without knowledge of that, now I didn't know about the curveball. I know that there's some times where Carl Edwards is just unhittable. I mean, he can throw, he's up at 98, 99. He's not in Chapman 100-yard mile-per-hour territory. But he's up there. But without knowing that, I'm thinking, first of all, why is Madden leaving this kid in, a right-handed pitcher, to pitch to a left-handed hitting Bryce Harper? First of all, well, that's why. Because against left-handers.
Yes. The statistics are there. So there are four home runs in that game. And three of those home runs are, wow, I just think that's a routine pop fly, but they go out. There is no doubt on Harper's.
No. That was.
It is crushed.
Yeah, that's one that leaves a mark on your relatives. That one. If
that was just crushed.
Yeah.
So the obvious question now, you are in Chicago now. There's a game three that would have happened anyway. Max Scherzer was always going to pitch three, but it could very well have been the last stand for the Nats.
Yeah.
And it's a matchup of the last two Cy Young Award winners in the National League on paper. Arrieta and Scherzer. That looks like
it's Quintana today.
Oh, it's not Arrieta. Oh, okay. I'm sorry. What is the feeling? What is the feeling in Chicago?
I don't know. I mean, I got here last night at 2 a.m. I got here really late last night after I watched a full day of football at home in Washington. I just know my feeling is that the Nationals have the advantage now. They have the advantage in this series.
One going on the road.
Yeah, I think so, because I don't expect to see the Cubs win both games here. I know they're capable, but I don't expect to see that. I just think that and there's the bullpen. You know, you kept telling me about your bullpen.
It's terrible. It's terrible, but it was good. It was good on Saturday. It was.
Yeah, but it was not the only terrible one, okay?
Right.
You don't own the monopoly on terrible
bullpen.
That's
right. That's right.
And so I know that because I'm watching the Cubs every day of the summer. And so I don't trust the bullpen, and you got to get to it. Nobody's going to go out there and throw a 9-inning game in the playoffs. And the starters, we got two great starts. I mean, Lester gave up two hits.
He was great.
Two hits. But he had an inning where he had to really dance around his own problems, the walks and some stuff. But you know, my feeling is when you let Harper get loose like that, he now is awake and feeling good about himself. Where throwing some heat. He couldn't handle any pitch he hadn't done anything in the, whatever it is, two, three games he played since he come back from missing 42 games. I think the Nationals now have the advantage because you got Scherzer.
Yes.
You got Harper back.
Scherzer, who gives up a lot of long flies and the friendly confines. This is not, you know, you don't have to hit it 410 to get it out at Wrigley. You don't.
Well, Wrigley's harder to get it out of than Nats Park the other night.
Oh, the other night, wind blowing out. Sure.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know what the wind's going to be doing here today, if there's going to be any wind this afternoon even. But, yeah, you know, the Nationals just seem to me to have an advantage having won that game. And I'm not a big believer in momentum. I believe that old adage from Earl Weaver.
Yes.
You know, momentum is the next day's starting pitcher or pitching. So, but I hate to be fatalistic. I think the Cubs have a certain, you know, somebody, was Ron Darling told us the other day, Tony, they're the only team with the it factor.
Yes.
And we saw that in game one, and we saw it in much of game two. But I don't have a real great feeling about what happened Saturday night and then coming out of that and trying to win two games here. And, you know, look, can they go back? Can the Cubs go back to Washington and win game five? Sure. But, again, if you ask me who has the advantage now in this series, I'm going to tell you the Nationals do.
Have you paid attention to the other baseball series, or are you concentrating on this one?
No, I watched – I was able to watch on the plane last night. I was able to watch Yankees-Cleveland. That was a fascinating game.
1-0.
To see Aroldis Chapman, you know, yep. A year after he was in the other pinstripes, in my pinstripes, is fascinating. I watched a lot of Red Sox Astros game three yesterday. The only series I've been unable to see much of
Dodgers.
is Dodgers. And that's why the Cubs games are so early in the day, because you got two West Coast teams in the National League. And so the National League series, the other one, has to be in the afternoon, because you got to play with two West Coast teams. You got to play later in the day.
So this is a 4 o'clock start, 4 Eastern today.
Yeah, and then 5:30 tomorrow.
Okay,
game four.
Should we talk about Penn State and Northwestern?
There's no point.
That was a drubbing.
Yeah. That's.
Did you expect that?
That was factored into why I was going to watch Cubs Nats in person as opposed to Nittany Lions and Wildcats in person.
Right. And should we talk? Yeah. There is one thing to talk about. If you got to watch football yesterday.
I did.
Aaron Rodgers.
Oh, it's pretty good.
Man.
Yeah.
Aaron Rodgers.
He's great. He's Aaron Rodgers. We know this is no news for
me. I know.
I'll tell you what was pretty incredible. First of all, Alex Smith has to be
great
in the consideration right now for league MVP.
Absolutely. He has no picks. They're 5-0, and he goes over 300 all the time. Yes.
But let me just tell you this. Deshaun Watson.
He's going to be good. He's good now.
So you'd rather trade everybody, every pick you've got, for Mitchell Trubisky than to take what you've seen so far from Deshaun Watson?
This is tonight is Trubisky's debut, right?
Right.
Yeah, right here.
Yeah, you're happy about that? No.
Many people say he's the Jay Cutler of the Midwest.
Wilbon, you leave out, trade every pick to get him when you could have stayed where you were and got him.
Exactly.
I mean, you can stay where you are and just simply take Deshaun Watson.
Yes.
You could have moved down and acquired a pick for your sorry, no-account, talented team and taken Deshaun Watson. So they elected to take Trubisky as a part. Deshaun Watson looks like everything Dabo Sweeney said he would be.
That's right. He said, if you don't take him, you're passing on Michael Jordan.
You didn't see that you were going to bed. I was in the plane. This was great. I was on a plane watching the Sunday night game and the playoff game, Yankees-Cleveland. Deshaun Watson's throws, Tony, he threw two lasers, which amounted to about 85 yards, one of them for a touchdown. And he just kept putting pressure on Kansas City. Even though Houston's having to, he's a kid, he's having to figure it out.
That's a game you never expect the scoring to be that high in that game.
Is 261 yards for 5 TDs and no interceptions good?
That's good. But Alex Smith,
he was great too.
Alex Smith is the front runner on MVP right now.
I will say this.
He's my MVP at this point.
Yes.
And Kansas City looks like potentially it's still early.
I will say this, and I don't mean, I'm a big fan of Deshaun Watson, but Wilbon, if you watch that whole game, you know, for the first 2.5 to 3 full quarters of it, he looked dreadful. I mean, he looked in over his head. Now, he wasn't throwing interceptions. He wasn't turning the ball over.
He looked like a rookie.
Yeah, he looked like a rookie.
And my point is, what, Trubisky's not going to look like that too?
He probably will.
I mean, and so at least you know Deshaun Watson. You've seen that fourth quarter he had. You've seen that a couple of times already.
He's good.
We're going to see. And look, Trubisky, he can do this one thing you guys will see tonight. He can move.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, people are going to compare him just in terms of movement. He can throw on the run, the dead run. He will be on the dead run given that offensive line. He'll be on the dead run some. But, you know, let's see. I'm just not interested. I told you guys this in August. Because of the Cubs, there's just less interest in the Bears than I've ever seen in the 53 years I've been following the team.
Wow.
It's not to say that people aren't going to go to the game. They will. It's not to say people aren't going to watch the game. They will. But if you think the Bears measure up right now to the interest in the Cubs, you would be sad. And this doesn't happen in most cities. I don't know that this will ever happen in Washington. I mean, the Nationals could be in game 7 of a World Series, and if it was going against a Monday Night Redskins game, we know what most people would care about.
That's right. That's right.
That is flipped on its head. People are, you know, as they say, all in on the Cubs and Nats this afternoon. And because the game will be over, then people will be all in on the Bears, but not in the same way that we're into the defending champs right now.
All right, I will talk to you later. Enjoy Chicago.
All right, Tone.
Michael Wilbon, boys and girls, we will take a break. We will come back to news. Nigel will get the news ready. I am Tony Kornheiser.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is the Harry's ad. Everybody sitting here has the Harry's razor. Everybody sitting here, well, not sitting and eating, but everybody in the broadcast.
We don't know. They might.
Well, they might. may have the Harry's razor.
They might. Never know.
Everybody likes it. Harry's is so confident you're going to love their blades. They'll give you their trial shave set for free when you sign up at harrys.com/Tony K. All you have to do is pay for shipping. Harry's is all about a great shave at a fair price, which is why over 3 million guys have switched to Harry's. Jeff and Andy, who are still claiming they're two ordinary guys who are fed up with buying overpriced razors, started Harry's to fix shaving. Then they bought their own German factory with over 100 years of blade-making experience to ensure the highest quality. All of their products are backed by a 100% quality guarantee. They offer their blades at half the price of the leading five-blade razor, selling directly to you over the Internet. So to claim your free trial offer, this is stupid not to do. It's just shipping and handling. It's a $13 value for free when you just cover the shipping. And it includes a weighted ergonomic razor handle, five precision engineered blades with a lubricating strip and a trimmer blade, a rich lathering shave gel, smells very good, a travel blade cover. To get your free trial set, go to Harry's, HARRYS.com/Tony K right now. That is Harry's.com/Tony K.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
The Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is sent to us by Tracy W. Gaynor, a loyal Hoosier Little in Fishers, Indiana. The song is called Stone Cold Floor. The band is called 10 Branches. It's the first song. It's an original project by Phil Stockton. Phil wrote the song and lyrics, plays acoustic guitar, and sings on the song. The song features Pete Keim on drums, percussion, etc., and I, Tracy Gaynor, play bass guitar. Phil and Pete are also in a cover band that plays the Indianapolis metro area called 10th of Never. I play in a local cover band called Karma and also in another one called the Big 80s. Why are people playing in more than one band?
Make money.
Yeah, but I mean, why not get the best of all your people and play in one band and make money?
Maybe
Paul McCartney play in the Wings and the Beatles at the same time?
No, just Wings.
Was it?
Yeah. Tell Bootsy's dad it's been raining the past couple of days here in Fishers, Indiana, but that's okay. It's been a dry summer. We need the rain, and fingers crossed for Max and the Nats. Bootsy's dad, how do people send in their music?
One second. So you wrote for the sports section and the style section.
Why didn't
you just pick one?
Yeah.
That's a fair point.
Yeah. If you have original music that you would like to share with the show, please email it to jingles@TonyKornheiserShow.com.
And are we selling anything?
We are.
Sure.
Because somebody was wearing a Tony Kornheiser shirt before that I noticed.
We'll sell anything.
Looked kind of like a giveaway, though. What do we
have? I would recommend checking out those mugs and those steel tumblers. We're about to do a reorder of those, and those make great gifts. And check out the sweatshirts. It's getting a little bit cool, though it was about 85 degrees at Nats Park on Saturday.
Yesterday
was disgusting.
Driving home after golf at about 5:30 in October, the car thermometer said 86 degrees. It's really hot.
As if the climate
I don't want it to be cold, But it's
almost really like a tropical storm was moving in.
Stewing on the soccer sidelines in my own juices.
Oh, so Lizza can attest to the awesomeness of the Tony Kornheiser Show Steel Tumbler. It's a great way to drink booze at your kid's soccer game.
That is true.
Nobody knows what's in there.
Do we sell a Tony Kornheiser computer cover for people who spill tea on computers? Is that available?
A plastic wrap.
It's all right now.
Is there any way I could do that? Nigel literally daggers.
No.
Nigel has news.
Tony, by the way, just chucked more gifts into the crowd.
What was that? That hit a kid.
Chris pointed out appropriately, like Trump with paper towels.
Yeah, I was going to say, we've got paper towels.
Just randomly strewn
the gifts. Who wants this gift card?
Oh, by the way, just as a by the way, there are kids that go out on the field at the Nats games and they throw T-shirts into the stands.
Right.
There was one kid who got it into the top deck.
Nice.
Throwing it.
Sign that kid up.
Give that fan a contract.
It. Seriously.
The only thing that would have made that Trump Puerto Rico thing worse / better was if he had like a T-shirt cannon.
That's
firing it.
What do we have?
Atlanta Falcons Super Bowl champs.
Some NFL. I know you covered some of the games. And forgive me if you've mentioned some of these games. I was preoccupied trying to resuscitate the computer. But did you mention the Giants now 0-5?
We mentioned none of the games.
We did not. So we mentioned safe. Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
No, we didn't mention Aaron Rodgers just went down the field.
Ridiculous.
And threw the same pass twice, threw it better the second time.
How about that third
Devontae
down?
Adams said, Aaron Rodgers said, Devontae looked at me and his eyes said, just
again.
Throw it better. And I did.
And by the way, and you know what it was like? It reminded me, like, you know how you miss a putt and you're like, oh man, like I know what I did. And you just drop it and hit it again and you drain it.
Second guy in.
Yeah, he's like, I know I'm going to make
no,
it. And the Cowboys made that possible by stupidly throwing the ball inside of 2 minutes
early.
On second down when
too
they
were. Early.
Yeah, that was a terrible play.
And it was mentioned on the broadcast. Why are you doing this?
He's Aaron Rodgers.
Right.
Yeah. Like, I mean, was there any doubt of what
Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady
here was the question.
Better than the others.
The only question was, is he only going to get the field goal or are they going to win?
Right.
And
right.
as Michael
right.
points out, the best thing he did and the thing he doesn't get enough credit for on that drive was the 3rd and 11
he basically
sprints
goes right
out left
to the sidelines.
And
so
makes
you
it.
Can't take a big shot at him. Because if you do, you're going
to
get a penalty.
Hug the line, got an extra
such
like 8 yards.
Such a joy to watch
right.
that guy. So much
Chargers
fun
beat the Giants in New York, right?
The Giants,
are 0-5. They lose Odell Beckham.
They lose everyone.
They lost Shepard, too, out for the season. Broken foot.
So they have no chance. I think that Ben McAdoo has to consider another line of work.
I think he may be asked to consider another line of work.
Right. So my friend Danny Sheridan, when he picks before the season, his Super Bowl teams were the Patriots and the Giants.
Nailed
How do you think
it.
He's feeling?
Yeah.
How do you think he's feeling
Not
with all
good.
That spread in cigar aficionado that they give him? Everywhere?
Well, a lot of people picked the Raiders, and now they're 2-3. They lose at home to the Ravens, who were embarrassed a couple of weeks ago in London.
Here's what I wrote down.
This league is nuts.
You have Buffalo, the Jets, Jacksonville, and Baltimore all at 3-2, and the L.A. Rams, including some who lost yesterday. Baltimore looked like it was done. Done.
Right.
Joe Flacco looked like, get me out of here. I can't do this anymore. They're all 3-2.
The Jaguars whipped the Steelers.
Yeah, they intercepted Roethlisberger five times.
Including two pick sixes.
Yes.
30-9.
Yes. So after the game, Roethlisberger said, well, maybe I don't have it anymore.
Well, maybe you don't. Maybe you should stop criticizing all your teammates your captain's priority.
To your Sheridan point, a month ago, everyone thought the Giants were certainly a playoff caliber team, and the Jets were going to go 0-16 intentionally
because they stink
to get Darnold. And
they
the Jets,
now they
as
Cleveland.
You wake up this morning, are tied with the Patriots and Buffalo.
Right.
Yep.
Now,
for
to
the
be fair,
league.
They beat Cleveland, and Cleveland is on a pace to finish the two and only 2 years of Hugh Jackson's stewardship there, because you can't keep him if he's 1-31. You just can't.
Not that
you
one.
Cannot
no, you can't do
keep
that.
Him if he's 1-31.
Can't play
him
this year on our
if
G3.
If he's 2-30, I don't think you can keep him.
No.
I just don't.
By the way, weirdest stat I think you'll ever see in a game where 30 points are scored and your team wins. Blake Bortles, 8-14 for 95 yards.
Well,
I mean, it's stunning.
They don't
the
throw.
As Nigel pointed out, the defense scored a million points. Yeah, but
the coach of that team is Doug Marrone. I remember what I've said. I made fun of him for walking out on Buffalo. I said, this guy will never get another job. He gets the Jacksonville job. And he says, sure, that'll last a year or two because Jacksonville is that bad. And he announces, he is asked about Blake Bortles. And he said, what is the optimum game for Blake Bortles? And he said, no passes. No yeah. passes. Yeah. You can look this up. No passes.
He's not wrong.
You just hand the ball off, and Leonard Fournette is going to prove.
28 for 181.
Yeah.
He's good.
Glad I played him in fantasy last week.
He's good.
Great. To college football, Mr. Tony, it was a tough afternoon for the Hoyas. They head up to Princeton and lose the game. 50-30 the final score, which ironically was...
Well, they got more than two. They got two against Harvard.
50-30.
30's not bad.
Defense is a little porous.
I think that was the same score when the men's basketball teams played each other.
It's very similar.
30's not bad.
Well, you know, Princeton, legendary football powerhouse.
Right, hold that tiger. Yeah. Hold that tiger. But to the rest of college football...
Two big losses.
Oklahoma. Oklahoma loses so to it Iowa does, State.
So it's not just big game Bob Stoops who lose early. It's the 24-year-old kid who replaced him who can lose early, too.
They lose to Iowa State. I think they were like 34-point favorites in that game.
Speaking of which, Carville took USC and gave 34 and lost, but he won on Tulane.
He did. Tulane won
and
huge.
He won on Jacksonville.
Yes.
Yeah, Carville was 2-2. Chuck Todd, 4-3. Reginald, 1-2.
1-2. Not
Chuck
so
Todd, over 500.
Also, number 7, Michigan, loses at home to Michigan State. Harbaugh's record against Michigan State and Ohio State combined. No, it's like 2-8 or something like that. So, yeah. So there you go. Oh, and West Virginia loses. It was an exciting game with TCU, 31-24.
You know who was at that game?
Kip Sheeman was at that game visiting
his kid.
Yes, and for those that care, here locally, Maryland lost to Ohio State 65-0.
And we should point out our good friend Brian Polian, along with his head coach Brian Kelly, Notre Dame Irish, went down to North Carolina.
33-10.
Won that game.
5-1.
Yeah, 5-1.
Second-best Jesuit university in the country.
For the first time in 100 years, something has happened in the National Hockey League. That is somebody opening up the season with back-to-back hat tricks. Alex Ovechkin is that player.
He's got 7 goals.
Unbelievable.
Not bad. He got 11 goals in 2 games. He's got 7 goals.
Yeah. Think this could be the year?
No. He's going out too quick. It's like being the rabbit in the race.
Score too fast.
This is what yesterday, I think I shot 40 on the front. I played really well yesterday. My team was up 9-9. I was really good.
Wow.
I shot 55 on the back. I was like, in the mile. Where the guy goes out and the first lap, he's the rabbit.
And
then he leaves the race. He literally
just runs off the track.
Walks off. Yeah. That's what I was yesterday. I was a dog.
What happened?
I was a dog. I don't know. I was just
Must have been the company.
There was a couple of par fives that I just got in tremendous trouble and I couldn't get out of the rough and it was very discouraging. Very discouraging.
Very discouraging times for Harvey Weinstein.
Although I won money.
Well, you won money. That's always a good day.
Terrific segue.
Yeah, thank you. Harvey Weinstein is out of the company that he founded in 1979.
Look, these are serious and terrible accusations that are not being denied fully. They are not being denied
They're not even
fully.
Being close to being denied fully.
But his record as a movie producer is amazing.
Yes.
I mean, Oscar after Oscar after Oscar. He has produced great movies. These things... They don't mean that you can't be
mutually exclusive.
Right.
Yes.
It's not what it means.
But Roger Ailes. I mean, this is you know, it's the same sort of situation.
Yeah. This is really bad.
Nigel made a really good
point. He got fired
by
his own company.
In the Harvey Weinstein explanation. Do you want to make that point, Nigel, so I don't have to? The 60s and 70s.
What are you talking about?
Oh, just, yeah.
What are you talking about?
Saying I'm a creature of the 60s and
70s. So am I.
That was the environment I was raised in.
We always asked people to watch a shower back then. You know?
What? And I believe the attorney in trying to rebut some of this said, look, we categorically deny most of these charges.
Most of them never happened.
Lisa Bloom.
Most of them leaves a lot of room, doesn't it?
Lisa Bloom, before she resigned on Saturday, his attorney said, well, he's an old dinosaur. Oh, way to defend him.
Yeah.
Great.
So. Yeah, and there's even more. I mean, I won't get into it on this program,
but
there's more sordid accusations being thrown at. This all stems from the New York Times column last week about it. So.
All right, let me take us out on this, because I wanted to talk about Connie Hawkins. Connie Hawkins died over the weekend at 75 years old. Connie Hawkins, there are two unbelievable playground great legends in New York City besides the helicopter, Earl Manigault. There are Connie Hawkins and Roger Brown. And both of them were implicated, never found guilty, never specifically accused, in a basketball scandals in the late 1950s and early 60s, and were banned for a number of years from the NBA. Roger Brown played in the ABA. Connie Hawkins played in the ABA, or the ABL, actually, at one point, for the Pittsburgh Condors, and then was allowed into the NBA at an advanced age. Came into the NBA, played for Phoenix, and was great. Was the first or second or third best player in the league for Phoenix, starting at age 27 through age 32. I'm Connie Hawkins. There is a lineage of great soaring dunkers, and Connie Hawkins, Elgin Baylor is one. Connie Hawkins is two. David Thompson is three. Julius Erving is four. Michael Jordan is five. That is the lineage of people who would take the ball and dunk in ways that you would go, wow, look at this. These are phenomenal, phenomenal athletes. So those, I wanted to make that point about Connie Hawkins, that he was a great, great basketball player who was, I think, unjustly denied entry into the NBA, but never complained about it. You know, played in the ABA and got in and was a great, great player. Probably denied his rightful place in the top 10, 15 players of all time because he went 6 or 7 years and nobody saw him. So we're good on this, okay? We're done.
That's right.
We will come back with Old Guy Radio, and Gary will talk about his fabulous trip to San Francisco, and I will talk about problems with my car yesterday. Mm. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is a ZipRecruiter ad in need of great talent for your business but short on time. You don't have to get lost in a huge stack of resumes to find your perfect hire. You just need the right tools. You need smarter tools. What if hiring could be easier, more streamlined, less time-consuming? So even when you're busy, you could still be smart about the way you hire. Not dumb, smart. If you're hiring, you know that quality hires keep your business moving forward, but you also know it can take a lot of time to find the right candidate for the job. Are you hiring? Do you know where to post your job to find the best candidate? Okay, here's what you do. You go to ZipRecruiter. With ZipRecruiter, you can post your job to over 100 of the web's leading job boards with just one click. Then ZipRecruiter puts its smart matching technology to work, actively notifying qualified candidates about your job within minutes of your posting, so you receive the best possible matches. That's why ZipRecruiter is different. Unlike other hiring sites, ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on the right candidates finding you. It finds them. No wonder 80% of employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site in just one day. ZipRecruiter is the smartest way to hire. Listeners to this high-quality podcast can post jobs on ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/TonyK, and you'll find out why ZipRecruiter has been used by growing businesses of all sizes and industries to find the most qualified job candidates with immediate results. That's ZipRecruiter, ZipRecruiter, ZipRecruiter.com/Tony. One more time, you can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/Tony.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is Jackson Browne. This is For a Rocker. This is not the usual melody of Jackson Browne tunes, and I know because I've got all of them, and I've gone to see him a number of times. He's 69 years old today. I once went to Baltimore to see him do an acoustic set.
Was this when
after that show.
You going to sing them all, honey? You going to sing them all? Because I actually paid to see him sing.
That was a great show. I still remember that.
Was the
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't think that's unreasonable.
No.
I'm paying a lot of money here. Yeah. I really like to hear him. I can sing them myself, and it'll sound slightly worse than this woman singing them. So.
And apparently this song was written as a tribute to a bloke by the name of James Honeyman Scott, who was a guitar player for the Pretenders, who had died the same year the song was written. So. It was his gesture of goodwill to me.
Big Jackson Browne fan.
Wasn't Honeyman your nickname at one point?
That's my AOL account.
Honey Boy.
Yes.
Oh.
All right. So let's do some stuff. Let me dispense with the Mike Pence thing in a hurry. Mike Pence goes to Indianapolis. He's the governor. He was the governor of Indiana.
That's right.
Peyton Manning's retirement party is yesterday.
Statue unveiling.
Mike Pence's wife wears a Peyton Manning jersey. They're in the owner's box, I assume, or wherever they are.
They're in a suite of some sort.
They're in a suite,
right.
And players from the San Francisco 49ers kneel, and Mike Pence walks out.
Kneel with their hands on their heart.
They kneel. Yeah. And Mike Pence says, I'm walking out, and it does that because the President of the United States says we shouldn't have this. Now, these are debatable points. What is not debatable is that you have the right to do this, but your response is fair. This is a fair. Jerry Jones has just said, if any of my players do this, they're not going to play.
Right.
That is his right.
Yep.
People seem to lose track of the fact that you can protest and then someone can protest your protest, and if he's your employer, he can get rid of you. Now, I felt, when I didn't know the whole deal about Mike Pence, I felt he walked out because who wants to see the Colts and the 49ers?
Right. Whoa.
That's just the right move. I didn't know there was political implications. I thought he was making a value judgment on a terrible game.
Yeah.
Right?
Ended up being an exciting game.
That's what I thought. Yeah, the Colts continue. Chuck Pagano, who you think is going to be fired, continues. He's won
Teflon.
A couple of games.
Yeah.
He's won a couple of games. So, anyway. You want to talk about your...
Yeah, Niners, my new favorite team now after my experience out in San Francisco this weekend. I've learned a lot of things from you over the years. I've worked with you now on and off for a quarter century.
That's right.
Which is hard to remember. But,
that's right.
But one of the things I learned is to take when offered. So when I trolled for Coldplay tickets because they were coming to FedEx Field this August... and my daughter's just the Sydney is legitimately among the largest Coldplay fans in the world. I got a call from Jamie Brandt, who's the VP of Sales and Service for the San Francisco 49ers, and he said, "Listen, I'm far away, but I'm a big fan of the show, big fan of Tony's.
Very grateful for that.
And if you want to come out here, you know, we can hook you up." And what Jamie learned in quick order is what David Klecka learned before him when he offered. When he offered me tickets to the national championship game in the Final Four, and what Brian Polian learned before him when he said, "Hey, if you want to come, we can hook you up here," is that I'm a taker. And I said, "Jamie, you know, I'll give you one more chance to retract the offer." But thank goodness he didn't. And so Sydney and Kim and I went out to San Francisco last week. Kim would not allow me to go without her. She's also a big Coldplay fan. And Jamie, man, it was just, I cannot thank him enough. And the 49ers organization, for that matter. I mean, we got there super early, gave us a tour of the facility. The Levi's Stadium is unbelievable.
It's very nice, except for the fact that the sun beats down on one side of the stadium to such a degree that they're having trouble getting people into afternoon football games.
7 p. tip on the concert. So
that's great.
How long a drive is it from San Francisco?
About an hour. It's
hour.
In Santa Clara. I mean, so we broke it up. We actually went, we stopped at Stanford on the way down and toured Stanford,
beautiful.
Which is, I mean, it was like a Mediterranean.
Future college for your children.
Have you been there?
Children. It's unbelievable.
It's beautiful.
Yeah,
they didn't see fit to offer me admission, interestingly enough, but I did visit, yes.
Please study, kids. Because if you study and you can get in there.
That's
where you go if you can go, I think, either there or Harvard.
Well, I would say this. If you are looking for a college experience that includes big-time athletics and a brilliant school, that's it.
Well, Princeton did beat Georgetown in football.
Don't get carried away.
That school, for those that have not been there, it is legitimately like a Mediterranean resort.
It's like
walking
paradise.
Around. I mean, the architecture, the palm trees everywhere.
Yeah, it's really nice.
It is insane. Really nice big campus. And they have... You know, they have all their sort of propaganda, so as you look at it, it gives you, like, the breakdown of their student...
You're saying it's better than Drew?
Definitely more selective. So 58% of applicants have a 4.0 grade point average or higher.
Out of 10?
Okay.
Out of 7.
I'm not...
Michael, can you explain the weighted grades to me?
Honestly, I can't.
Okay. So basically 58% of applicants had straight A's or better.
Right.
And 7% of them get in. So it's 6%. It's like the most selective there. So anyways, we broke it up. We got down there. He took us around the facility. Jay Brunetti is now, I didn't realize this. Jay Brunetti, I'm sure you know the name. Was the equipment manager here at the Redskins for 20, 25 years.
Referred to as Jaybird constantly.
Then went to Houston with Charlie Casserly, where he was for a number of years. And then came back to, Washington for a year and then went with Kyle to San Francisco. A good friend of Tracy Roberts. So he had told Jamie, "Hey, I want to meet Gary when he's here." I knew Jay, obviously, by reputation, but we'd never met over the years. And Jay brought us into the locker room, toured the locker room, gave us all this San Francisco 49ers gear.
That's great.
And in fact, gave me, I forget his name, but he's close friends with the equipment manager here for the Washington Capitals. So they exchanged boxes of stuff. And they had all this cap
Send
stuff
us
in there.
A big box of that.
And he said, he said, "Take something for your kids. You know, I'm going to get rid of it." He's like, "The players have already gone through. I mean, we're in San Francisco. 23-year-old boys don't want Washington cap stuff in San Francisco." He said, "Literally, we're going to give it away." So I got Spike in like a couple of Washington Capitals hats while we were at San Fran. There's a Michael Mina steakhouse and pub and restaurant in there where they hooked us up. And then...
How are your seats? How are your seats for Coldplay?
The seats were literally in the front row of where the auxiliary stage is.
No lost cell phones?
Sydney had made a big sign that said, you know, something to the effect of, could this birthday gift get any better? ? Sort of like trolling them to invite her on stage or something. Chris Martin, who she loves dearly, the lead singer of Coldplay, who he pointed out during the stadium, hey, we've been here before. Sometimes they have us play in the middle of the football matches, which I thought was pretty funny. Because it was the Super Bowl there that they played. Came over, saw her sign, blew her a kiss. She shrieked ear-piercingly, and like the world was made. And as I said to Jamie, and I was talking to Tony before the show, and Chris, you can appreciate this, I'm sure, and Michael, you'll be there soon enough. You do something... for me, and I appreciate it, and plenty of people have, and you've done a lot for me, Tony, and I've got access to a lot of things. But it's like when someone does something like that, and it's for the benefit of your kid, it's a completely different level. I mean, I was absolutely speechless. The coup de grace was the next day, so we're walking around Haight-Ashbury, taking in San Francisco, which is just also a tremendous town. It was such a great trip. And my phone rings, and it's Jamie. And I said, hey, what's up? And he said, hey, just want to make sure everything worked out. And I said, yeah, it was great. Thanks again. And he said, I need your address. And I said, what's up? And he said, well, we were able to get the band to autograph a picture for Sydney, personalized autograph.
That's great.
I sent it out. And
that's great.
Yeah, so we just had a great time. And I wanted to thank you, Tony. I mean, it's sort of weird to do this publicly, but just, you know,
thank you for the
opportunities. It's been a great summer of me sponging off of you from the Notre Dame experience to
the
concert.
On that note, Chris and I were invited. There's a general manager of the Golden Corral, so we went out there and enjoyed.
He was wonderful.
He was. Oh. And there's this fountain.
To lay down backwards under the.
Oh, yeah. If anybody needs a Golden Corral t-shirt, size extra, extra small, I'm happy to help out.
Oh, and thanks to Andrew Bader, who was a little, who just reached out to me on Twitter, try to help me out and give me some local intel, and of course Gretchen Wu, who made many excellent suggestions.
So I think this is really wonderful, and for all the people sitting here who want the same thing, there's no chance. there's absolutely no chance. Is there anything else I want? I have this story. I'll do it tomorrow. I'll do the story tomorrow about my. Oh, a destination assist, because it's going to take a
while. Yeah, you were quite irate yesterday.
I am quite irate about this whole thing. Did we cover everything we're supposed to cover? I think we did. So we'll take a break. I'm going to come out. We'll do pictures now, because I want to run after the show. And we will have...
Mailbag.
Yes. We can do it.
Yes.
Our music is back.
Yes.
Chris didn't kill the computer.
We've been playing it for the rest of the show since the opening segment. This is, by the way, a great tune by Robert Berg about Shkreli.
Okay,
I think you'll enjoy
it. Hi, I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
Satch, this is the jingle read. The male version. Martin, I think you're in for a rough ride. With the gang members with whom you're doing time. Your smirk will be wiped off when you're on The poetic justice is simply sublime. Skrelly, 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 S-C-K-R-E. How do you spell this guy? You know what? Doesn't matter. Inmate 87850-053. Slime bag, mother that guy, prison concubine.
Piano by the inimitable Jason Fuse. Lyrics and singing by Robert Berg. Robert Berg.
The incomparable Robert Berg.
Incomparable.
Love Robert.
Before we get into the mailbag, let me thank Michael Wilbon for coming on the show today. Also thank our sponsors. MeUndies, ZipRecruiter, and Harry's Razors. Remember to listen and subscribe to new and archived episodes of The Tony Kornheiser Show wherever you listen to podcasts, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Play. If you listen to the show through iTunes, please leave us a review. From Mike Currens, Luke is needy as usual, but it's encouraging his global entry is up to date. Maybe he is due for more travel. From Bill Irwin in Bomet, Kenya. This is your Kenyan correspondent checking in. I would like to introduce you to the newest little Frank, my son by adoption. My wife's son and I have spent the last 6 months traveling back and forth from our home in rural Kenya to Kampala in order to complete the adoption. Most of these trips took over 12 hours on the bus. Definitely not a two-bathrobe situation. I had to ration out the end of summer podcast to get me through all the round trips, but you and everyone on the pod made the trips a little bit easier. We'll be returning to the States soon, and Frank is looking forward to breakfast at Chatter. Maybe Bootsy can introduce him to the life of a big. From Brian Keller in Nashville, Tennessee. I know it's a leaf blower, but I always imagine Nigel is making smoothies for the gang. Strawberry kiwi for Jeannie. Banana peanut butter for Gary. Fescue in Bermuda for Michael. Burger and fries for Mr. Tony's immune system. It's flu season after all. And of course, milk and toast served with a silver spoon for Saliza. From Orlando, a.k.a. Orlizzi. I woke up at 5 this morning to look for the moon, as one does, and I realized that thanks to a navigation-challenged explorer, I did not need to report to my Smithsonian desk. After my morning workout, I gently woke the woman to whom I'm related to by mortgage to let her know I'd be back after going to Chatter for breakfast. She said, "You're going to go out in this rain on your day off to listen to that orange man?" And I replied, "This is why we lift all those weights." She blew me a kiss and pulled the covers over her head. At least that's what I chose to think the gesture was that she made with her hand. It was dark. Although I did find it odd that she did so with one finger. Anyhow, I get to go home and tell my partner that I got to explain my T-shirt of her alma mater, Wilmington Friends. Oh, okay, right. And I'm able to brandish a TK challenge coin around the 20015. Thanks for a great Monday morning. Thanks for many, many years of company and laughter. P.S. Drink it, Saliza. That way you don't get the tea all over the computer. From Stretton in Seattle. Great call by Nigel to Mike the Leaf Blower. Really ties the pod together.
Well, you know.
From Leon in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. A new take from a proud, loyal little dad of three children, three feminine children, who has read this book many, many times. You probably won't know it, but Gary will. Good night, Moon. Good night, Tomatoes. Good night, Chessie. Please don't puke until later. Good night, Leaf Blower. Good night, Frisbees. Good night, Bar. Good night, Pod. Good night, Michael, Nigel, and Gary. And good night, Wilbon, so grumpy and scary. Good night, Lachiserie. Good night, Sands. Goodbye, Prophets. Good night. And good night to an old orange man yelling, "What?" From Jeff Piggott in Des Moines. Let me recommend to you the latest work of Tom Everett Scott. Now, he was Shades.
That's right. And that thing you do.
Tom Everett Scott, a 10-episode series called I'm Sorry, which just wrapped its first season with Andrea on
Savage.
TV.
Yeah, that's great.
Tom co-stars with Andrea Savage in a show that reminds me of Brockmire, only the female version. On an unrelated note, you wondered aloud if anyone but Carville was interested in the Tulane Tulsa line. Well, let me introduce you to members of the Tulsa Alumni Association D.C. chapter, President Sarah Hartley, number 24, and her boyfriend, Treasurer Nathan Piggott. With the gray sweatshirt, so that must be Tom's son. These proud Golden Hurricane alums know the line and spilled real American paper money at weekly watch parties. Happy to provide you with their contacts should Chatter be interested in hosting a future event. We could become, along with the Maryland Bar, a Tulsa bar.
Yeah.
I mean, why not?
Golden Hurricane. Golden
Ian awesome. Frank, well, as Golden Corral, Golden Hurricanes.
Yep.
Ian Frank in Arlington, Massachusetts. I hope you were all congratulating Mr. Chris on his stunningly negative feature in Breitbart. The first sentence is priceless. Did you see this?
No.
With his move from the Washington Post to CNN, Chris Saliza went from a dishonest left-wing news outlet to one with no scruples whatsoever.
Boom. Nailed it.
Right. The middle of the story is boring, but the last sentence packs a punch, and there is no lie the media will not tell. No lie Saliza will not
Interestingly,
tell.
I was not called for comment.
I am sending you a mental high five, Ian Frank says. From Wade H-A-E-R-L-E, Harley, pronounced Harley, Queenstown, Maryland. I know Queenstown is where you
take right
the
river.
You
right
take 301
outlets.
And you go
You've
to
probably
Queenstown.
Played Queenstown.
I played Queenstown, and then you go to 213 and 309. Attended daughter's high school homecoming pep rally where the seniors won Spirit Week. Master of Ceremony starts looking around for the spirit stick to hand over to the victorious senior class president. There is no spirit stick. The stick is left in the office. The gym goes quiet. The senior girl close to me yells, "You only had one job." I say in her direction, "Set the board back to zero." I swear she yells louder this time, "Set the board back to zero." Classic when the show skews young. I did stop short of giving her the TK salute. Tell Nigel. Thanks, everybody. Right on your bike tonight. Do wear white.
This book is devastating. I'm in trouble. You explain why all the reds look green to me. With my nerves exposed, I can't say no.
We'll be right back. sin and made me head home. No guilt to charge and no wrong to right. See, I'm no liar in your conviction. Tears on my folded hands, I pray tonight.
Looking.